Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Ryan Fraser.
This is Troy Deeney.
This is Gus Boyett.
This is Don Hutchison.
This is Jürgen Klopp, and you're listening to The Big Interview with Graham Hunter.
Thank you, Jürgen. I travel to all these interviews from Barcelona, and our socios, our beloved members, keep us on the road. This independent podcast wouldn't happen without them. Please go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter right now to join us, to become a socio, and to get every interview we produce without adverts and before it goes out on the main feed, plus lots of bonus content, including the chance to put questions to our guests and to me via the monthly Q&A. You will also get bonus content every month, including the audio versions of my regular columns for ESPN. So do please go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter and join the club and get your family and friends to do so. Maybe even strangers in the street. Love you. Welcome back. In this part of our interview with Federico Fernandez, we talked about World Cup 2014, a tournament that Fede began in the Argentina starting 11, but unfortunately he ended via a quixotic choice by his coach, watching his national team lose the final right at the death from the bench against Germany. Newcastle fans, however, listen up for a breakdown of the emerging and Fede is still sure developing talent of Alan San Maximan. Federico Fernandez is an Argentinian in Britain surviving in a different language. In my opinion, particularly somebody who's been given to speaking in Spanish on radio or television over the last 18 years, Federico Fernandez does so brilliantly. But he's an Argentinian who moved to Swansea, living in Newcastle, learning accents, ideas, and idiomatic expressions. Bear with him, because, believe me, like the L'Oreal girls, he's worth it. Maybe this is a boring question, but I want to know, I'm curious about it, Fede. You weren't old enough really to see Diego Maradona in his best form, but he's inescapable for an Argentinian because, never mind football, he's one of the great sporting icons of anywhere, any country, all time. For those people listening to our interview who've never been to Napoli, when you went there, or in all your time there, how obvious is it still that this is Maradona's city? Is his traces gone, or is it still really obvious?
No, it's really, really obvious. You see painting on the street, and when you are Argentina, you say Maradona, Maradona, Maradona. And yeah, I meet Bruce Colotti, the central back, he played with Maradona. He had a restaurant in Naples, so I was very often with him, and he absolutely loved Maradona. Everyone, of course, they imagine that they won a couple of trophies with him, and when today you see the videos or the photos of him at the stadium and the cities, absolutely crazy at that time. So I can imagine how was the day by day of Maradona with the city. That's because so much love in between them, and yeah, they will remember forever, 100%, because probably the great player they have in the club, and you know how important is this.
Was it too much pressure for an Argentinian to be there with that name always being thrown into the conversation? That can it have a negative aspect too?
No, in my opinion, no. You have so much pressure because the club is getting better and better every year, and today is competing for the first place with Juventus. So you have to win in games and make sure you arrive at the end of the season with a chance to compete and win a trophy. So that's what the fans demand a lot, but it's no matter where you come from.
We talk about Napoli as potential trophy winners now, and we're talking about two Scudetti for Maradona, but they don't win many trophies, but you did. So the first Coppa Italia, it's frustrating for you because you play an early game and then you go to the final and you win, but you have to wait in the banquillo. But the second one is dream, because sometimes a cup run in any country, you can play against a couple of little guys and then maybe one big tie. And that wasn't the case for you, because you beat Lazio, then it's home away against Roma, sensational opponents. And if I'm not wrong, my notes tell me that you win the second game 3-0 against Roma, and they have Strootman sent off. It's in Sao Paulo. Must have gone crazy that night because you qualified for the final. So do you remember the Roma semi-final, but also do you remember the noise, the emotion? Was it as easy as it looks, Callejon, Higuain and Jorginho scoring?
The cup, you know, when you start the first couple of rounds with a small team, no, obviously the focus is on the Scudetto and maybe the Champions League, Europa League. And when you go through the rounds in the cup, everyone starts to believe, and they say, okay, we had a really good chance. But you say we play again top team from quarter final. To be honest, we play a really good football, and yeah, we fully desert that Coppa Italia against Fiorentina in the final, and it was great football for us when we created so many chances. We had top play in front, I remember every time we left by train to go to Rome, that I say. The way from the coach to the train, it was probably the fans pick up someone and put in the train. It was full of them, and yeah, every time we back at the airport, 2 a.m., 3 a.m. in the morning, always someone outside with the motorino, beep 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 beep, and 3 o'clock in the morning. Imagine that. So we waiting for us, when we were the winners, amazing stay with the coach around the city with the fan. It was amazing.
What about the final? Because Insigne gives you a 2-goal lead, two really good goals, quite early. Vargas, who I think is Chile international, he makes it 2-1, and then it's even though Inler gets sent off, and before the referee even shows the card, he's taking off the captain armband and walking off. So you're 2-1 up with, I don't know, 10 minutes remaining against 10 men. But looking at it now, it's super nervous. And there's one chance, I forget who misses it, and I think you're following the ball past the post going, oh, I can't believe it. Were those maybe the 10 most nervous moments of your life?
Well, things you start to thinking about Senon. You are very close to something special. Yeah, last 10 minutes probably, you know, the Catenaccio, Italian Catenaccio, everyone back. No concede, obviously, fight for every single ball. Yeah, we scored the first one very late at all. I can't remember the minute, but I mean, I remember Pepe Reina as well, ran until the corner, you know, it's over, and it's the moment when you realize that it will happen, no? But yeah, you need to suffer as well. I mean, Fiorentina was a really, really strong team, good players, but we know that we need to be 100% concentrate, and obviously they have a couple of chances as well.
Three quick questions on this subject before we move on to Argentina. One, the Coppa Italia, what is it actually like? Lots of cups are famous because of their shape. The Coppa Italia, what does it look like? How heavy is it? What does it feel like in your hands?
I feel amazing. Any trophy feels amazing in your hands, to be honest. Even if it's a glass of Coppa, I don't know. It looks like a very average cup, nothing special. But, you know, with the Italian flag by the side and, over your head, it's like you are in the moon.
Perfect. Then two teammates. First of all, I was lucky over the tournaments that they won in 2008, 2010, 2012. I was working with the Spain squad close, like a TV producer. So I used to stay behind and watch the penalty kick competitions between Iker Casillas and Pepe Reina. And Pepe is a guy who treated me really well over all those tournaments. And we've got a kind of similar character in terms of passion for life. Describe Pepe Reina like a teammate.
Probably the best teammate, funny guy in a dressing room that I share with. Always smiling, positive energy, available teammate, that if you need something. I met him last season. We will play against Villa again after a couple of years, and it was great to see him and his family. I repeat, every year see his face full of energy, try to do good thing for the squad, you know, even if you lose a game, you know, try to be positive and good atmosphere on the dressing room. He's top guy.
Then the obvious one that I guess you know is coming. I'm going to ask you about, did you already look at the Premier League calendar to see the first day that you're going to have to play against Edinson Cavani?
But he's not available, I heard, no? I heard that he's in quarantine, no?
Sorry, Fede, you heard that or you hoped that?
I heard that.
Okay, then theoretically, what kind of guy should the Premier League expect from Manchester United's new centre-forward? And a little bit of advice for other centrales around the Premier League. How do you play against Enzo Cavani when he's on his best form? Because just like I described Seba Varón as a mixture of cultures, Cavani has got some of the brains and the smarts of Luis Suarez, but also he has the physique of Didier Drogba.
He's very complete striker. He's very fit. He really take care about his body. So don't surprise, he's I think 33, but don't surprise how many kilometers he can run again because he's fully fit. Yeah, both leg finish with left and right, no problem at all. He's good in the air, so expect a guy who is press every single defender, is, you know, the one that stay quiet, and his movement on the box is quite clever, and he know what he do, you know. If I saw him, you know, move to the second post, go to the first or the opposite, so try to don't give a defender a reference, so or try to be in the shoulder, but I mean expect a really competitive guard that will push everyone.
Let's talk about things Agridulce to finish, yeah? Because playing for your national team for you has been obviously fantastic. I guess you made your family, your town really, really proud. But let's start against, in the state of New York, against Brazil, because it's the World Clásico. And okay, it was a friendly match, but your goal must, I was joking before, but it is incredible that in the game that you play in the World Clásico and you win 4-3, you score, you do go over your Brazilian Napoli teammate, you do score past your Brazilian Napoli teammate in Rafael in goals. It's Kun Agüero's ball in. I want to ask you 3-4 specific questions. Sometimes when central defenders go up for a header, they go up and hope. I know some guys in the professional game who go up and they close their eyes. From the moment Kun Agüero is taking the corner kick, what's going through your head? How does it happen? If you can do it in super slow mo, go back to the moment, what happens?
Never a friendly when you play for Argentina, especially again Brazil. it was the atmosphere on midlife in New Jersey, amazing. Yeah, it was very crazy game. And my goal when I saw Agüero going to take the corner, and I saw Leo Messi inside the box, I say, okay, the ball will come, because many times in Argentina team they try to play short the corner, so probably the ball not arrive properly. When I saw that situation, okay, I said be more attention because the ball will come. I tried to make a 2 meters run to the first post, just Ubini follow me, and then a little bit back when the ball came, and I shove, I put, you know, the elbow in the shoulder of Ubini a little bit, and I had a really good contact that was straight to the post and go in. We get the free, and then Leo Messi had the amazing final goal with the 4-3. It's getting better, and over the years they still remember this Clásico.
Yes, we believe in biodiversity. It's from the makers of The Big Interview, and it's called Between the Lines, the stories behind great sports writing. Every episode takes a classic sports book or outstanding piece of sports writing and examines how the writer crafted their story. This is a weekly show, and the series so far has featured documentaries on the miracle of Castel di Sangro and Andrea Pirlo's autobiography, I Think, Therefore I Play. There's also interviews with writers like Henry Winter, Simon Cooper, Andy Mitten, and David Goldblatt. Here's David Winner on his legendary, scintillating book, Brilliant Orange.
The book chimed perfectly with what the Dutch did in Euro 2000. They played the book almost, exactly as I described. They played, and then they tragically, ridiculously, disastrously, unbearably lost in the semi-final, this crazy game. And one of the big newspapers in Holland, the NRC Handelsblad, had a big page, like a whole front page of their review section the day after the Italy game. And it was all, you know, David Winner predicted this. And then years later, I discovered that they had 2 versions. The other one, if Holland had won that game, they said, David Winner's got it completely wrong. Doesn't understand anything.
It's hard to ask this because I lived in Barcelona for 18 years now. So I've had the good fortune to see most of Messi's games live. I've interviewed him, I don't know, 25, 26 times. Sometimes short, sometimes long. And over the years, I've seen him changing from a little bit timido. Now much more happy to speak, more of a captain. He's changed with the captaincy. And I'm not looking for new adjectives, but I know it's difficult for fellow professionals to describe him. But you've played with him. You've travelled with him. from your perspective, what has it been like being around one of the all-time geniuses of sport, not just football, of sport? What's that experience been like for you?
Probably the first time, you know, that same situation that happened with Ashala, you know, select for a national team, and plus Messi is in the squad as well. It's magnificent. You see him, you know, the first day you see him, you say, wow. But at the same time, it's, you know, you will understand because you meet him and he's quiet and he's like a very normal people. That outside the football, he absolutely loved the family, stayed with them. And for us as well, he's from Rosario, so when we training in Buenos Aires, he was all the time in the training ground. So we share our Argentina tea, colmate all the time, talking about football or other things. So we have a really strong team, and yeah, for me it was enjoyed experience. But he feel like, okay, it's one of. For me, it's like another Fede Fernandez, you know, it's obviously that the mention that he had impact in football is the top of the game. So, but outside, just enjoying with him and his experience.
How tough is it not only not to win the World Cup in Brazil, but to be stopped by a coach who's trusted you all his life, Sabeja? One, he puts Di Michaelis in, and then you have no more influence in whether Argentina lifts the World Cup or doesn't. To take that power away is tough. And then when you're a privileged spectator, because at any minute you can be called on, at any minute in the final you can be called in and you can score a header from a corner to win the World Cup. This, I guess, is on your mind on the bench, but you're watching, in my opinion, sorry Maradona, apologies, but in my opinion, the greatest Argentinian player, the greatest footballer ever, in my opinion, not win a World Cup again. And just like when Barca are beaten at Anfield, the Messi game is really good inside the World Cup. And the Messi game at Anfield is astonishing when Barca lose 4-0. But the people with short attention spans or sometimes stupid people are going to forget that and they're only going to look at the result. When you look back at those last three games in Brazil and the final, what are your, not just your emotions, but what's your analysis?
No, my analysis is always in the national team is about the whole period that I've been in, and that was 3 years. I played 32 games, so I start from the qualification when the Michelis was out of the team and Sabella said me, you need to play against Colombia away with 40 degrees. Okay, they put that t-shirt, they don't ask you if we are ready or not. So after that, we won every single game in the qualification. We finished first. We find a good team that play good football, and the relationship between the fans and the team and the end, you know, you can feel it that it was connected. We are not a team that we scored 3, 4, 5 goals. It was, you know, qualification in the South America is really tough. You need to be in Bolivia with this, it's so difficult to play, Colombia, Venezuela. So we managed to get really good results. And the World Cup, my games, you know, always we won the fourth game, but I always say we are a team of 23 and everybody deserves the chance. For some reason, Sabella at the moment decided to maybe get more experience with the Michelis. At the end of the day, obviously I'm disappointed, but I cannot be negative in the moment because we were in a quarter final of the World Cup, and that you say mentally I have to be ready for anything. We've been so close that a couple of minutes, even for the penalty, you know, that will be probably the best definition of the game. And in between second place and first place, so close and at the same time so far away, so that changed your life. It's not about glory, no? It's not about money, about nothing else. If you won the World Cup, you will remember forever. So yeah, I have a mixed feelings to be so close. In my personal opinion, obviously disappointed to be out in the important games, but like I said before, overall, my time in the national team, I enjoy and I give a good game for them, and I help the team to qualify in a good way, and had a really good workout after a very long time for Argentina. We don't reach the final, it was 25 years at the time.
You said you were a good group. Can you remember then or subsequently, did anybody go to look for you? You're one of the guys that was a teammate of yours at Napoli as well, Pepito Higuain, who had a massive opportunity to score. Did anybody go looking for him at the end? Or when something that big goes wrong, do you just give everybody space? How did that get treated?
No. I mean, obviously after the game, you don't have a time to analyze. You know, it was frustrating. And yeah, you say, people have a real chance. Leo as well, the one they cross. Palacio, Pipa, Higuain with Neuer, someone say it could be a penalty, it could be no. You know, a small detail that could be changing the history. But I think we were the better team in the final. But sometimes football, and you know, football sometimes you know, decide who's the best, you know, who scored the goals. That's the group for fantastic, because most of the guys, Higuain, Messi, Mascherano, Gago, they know each other for a long time. We as a young, maybe with Garay, other guys that we know también from Estudiantes or from Naples, it was great, to be honest. Everyone pushed for Argentina in the fairway.
The last two, we've got guys called socios, who are the people who are our longest supporters, individual guys. And this guy is James Atkinson. And James has asked a simple question. He's a huge Newcastle fan. And he says, Fede, what is it like to train with Alan Saint-Maximin? And how does he compare to some of the guys you've played with, if you want to say Mertens or Callejon or Pocholovetsi is a different player, or Pedro León, the three of those guys? I think James, because Lovetsi wasn't really a winger, but Mertens, Callejon and Pedro León had similar positions in the pitch maybe. So what's it like to train with Alan Saint-Maximin, and where does he rank with some of the other mercurial players you played with?
Well, Alan, for me, had a natural talent that is difficult to find in this day. No, he dribbling, his quality is amazing. I can see similar thing with Lavezzi. No, when the ball they are, you know, look like in trouble, but always find a way to go out of people and going down the floor and get up quickly and this kind of thing, no? The first in training always difficult. I said to the manager always, put Alan in free touch, no all in, because he will pass every time. The guy is young, and if he improve the game and the decision he make, he will be in a few years in a top of the game.
Are you learning Geordie? Can you sing Blade and Races? No. Do you know what Hawaii means, or the tune?
No. When I was in Swansea, they want to me, I will pay, speak Welsh, and here, Geordie, no, too many. Enough with my English.
So the last section is this. Now your English is phenomenal, much better than my Spanish. The last section is this, Bielsa. What does it feel like for a top quality Argentinian football man to be in England in a time when maybe outside his home country, maybe Athletic Bilbao, there never seems to have been so many people who love and appreciate this guy who is a strange guy. Let's not pretend he's not a strange guy. But his football is beautiful. He seems to have found a home in Leeds. Everything being good, obviously, number one, everything being good, you're going to win Newcastle their first trophy since 1969, because it's weeks after this interview, you're going to play Brentford. But I'm telling you now, just like Toto Berizzo told you, you're going to have a long future in England and the national team. And Ayala told you, I'm telling you, you're going to win the League Cup. Newcastle's first trophy since 1969. But you play Leeds on 12th of December, I think. What is it like watching the Bielsa phenomenon at Leeds for an Argentinian footballer?
Now, most of the people can see, no, in the Premier League, where everything is massive, you know, around the world, how Marcelo Bielsa or his team approach the game and the philosophy, no? You can lose the game or win the game, but the philosophy that... Yeah, I mean, for me, football is about moment and where he's done for Leeds, where I think it was, what, 16 years ago in the Premier League, had a really good two seasons in the Championship, where the league is absolutely difficult and competitive, and they managed to be in the playoff, the first one, and obviously the second one, promotion. It's not easy, so... Now you can see, but yeah, a pleasure to see his team, the way they play, no? For me, everyone or every way is has to be accepted. If you want, or if you like more possession again, if you like long balls, or you like, you know, it's football, and you fight for beat another team. So one thing that I saw, you know, the energy of his player and how they play, no? So it will be really tough to face his team. So yeah, looking forward to hopefully meet Marcelo, and hopefully wish the best in this year.
Then Federico, fantastic. Thank you for being a guest on the Big Interview. Thank you for sharing your ideas about football and your brilliant life. When you lift the League Cup above your head next year, think of this moment and think of the Coppa Italia. And then I'll ask you which of the cups is nicer, okay?
Okay.
Federico, thank you so much.
A pleasure.
Thank you for listening to The Big Interview. It's produced by me, which sounds egotistical, but it's also true, Graham Hunter, and Back Page. Our music is by Beer Jacket, who else? Editing by Charlie McGarry. Thank you to our hosts at Acast and our loyal sponsors at Bet365. We're also supported by our socios. Find out how to become a socio, how to support us, at patreon.com/Graham Hunter. Here endeth the lesson.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Marc Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Marc.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.